chapter 1, and we stopped last Sunday. We were talking about developing a growing love for God, and we talked about not forsaking our first love. We read Revelation 2, the first seven verses in the letter to the church at Ephesus, and now we're moving on in that same vein. And one of the points that Kevin Harney makes is that this developing a growing love for God does not begin with our own efforts. So, where does it begin? Developing a growing love for God begins with and what? His love for us, right? Right. And can you think of any passages that talk about that love for us and that being the beginning of growing a love for Him?
While we were still sinners,
you can look it up if you want to. Yes, Cindy?
Ephesians 2.
Okay. Okay. Trespasses. Right. So God, who is rich in mercy,
because of His great love
for us. Yes. So there it is. His love for us made us alive in Christ. Right. And remember that that is based upon that that follows what we read today, which was have this mind of Christ in you, which is to love one another in many ways. And let that love show forth in very tangible, visible ways. But it starts with God loving us and us depending upon that love and acknowledging that love. There's another passage, Matthew 22:37 through 40. And let me look this up and read it. Matthew 22. 37 through 40. Backing up a little bit to verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, and we talked about that passage and other related passages when we discussed the Great Commission and how, we're commanded to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. And then out of that flows this love for our neighbor. And it's this reaching out to the lost with love that is the organic overflowing of a heart that is intimate with God. And that's what Kevin Harney's book, that's his main proposition for this book, is God loves us. We are to love God. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And reaching out to them is just part of a heart that's filled with that intimate relationship with God and reaching out to one and to others that don't know Him. So now he asks the tough questions. Are you ready for those? Because as you remember, he kind of uses this gardening metaphor for the end of his chapters, preparing the soil, scattering the seed, and watering the soil with prayer. So preparing the soil. How can we strengthen our heart for the Lord? How do we do that? And we talked about not forsaking our first love, going back and remembering what God has done for us. But what are some practical ways, some practical helps that we can strengthen our heart for the Lord? James.
Well, in our men's Saturday Bible study, we are actually
study on the love of God. So that's one way we can strengthen our heart is having a better understanding of what His love is and how it has been demonstrated to us and what it means in our daily lives and
okay.
That's one way to be strengthened in our heart is to appreciate and understand that.
Okay, where do you learn that?
Oh, well, reading the Word.
Right.
Learn by reading His Word and reading about God's love.
Specific, right. That's the exercise that you're proposing, and I think that's an excellent. That should be the start. I mean, I think we tend to maybe look for gimmicks or look for, you know, quick helps outside of the means of grace. You know, we think God's grace is sufficient for what? What is it sufficient for?
Everything.
Everything, right? And we know that God's word is good for teaching, instruction, right? All of those things from 2 Timothy 3:16 that we need on a daily basis. But that's, and I think, so what James is saying is maybe we think we know God's love for us, but who can say that they've plumbed the depths of God's love for us? Isn't that something that we should continually grow in? And there really is only one way to do that, and that's through the means of grace that God has given us, His Word. It starts with us personally, engaging God in His Word, but that's where we should be sharing that with one another, right? What are you learning about God's love for you and for me, and how does that translate in our relationship, our covenantal relationship of encouraging one another? Yes. Right.
But it's hard to know where to start.
Right. But to start or stop, right? Yes. But it doesn't mean that it's because it's beyond our comprehension that we shouldn't explore it, right? We really should explore God's love for us and how broad and how deep it is and so on. Any other thoughts or recommendations in that regard? Troy?
Yes, the other manuscript that the pastor showed there, they're going to be going through Christian meditation. So I think part of it has to do with what we're giving attention to. Usually when my breath for God is waning, it seems because I'm giving my attention to other things. And, so I think one way is making that time.
So it sinks in. That meditation is the process of like a cow chewing its cud, right? So you're kind of mulling it over and you're constantly or, you know, regularly thinking about it. It's kind of where Paul talks about praying without ceasing. And maybe that's another means of God's grace that we should use in cultivating that love for Him, and that is by hearing from Him, thinking about it, but then praying to Him as well. You know, all the means of grace. Yes, James.
I was going to say that's kind of important too. I mean, they're related because sometimes you might be doing a Bible reading, you're like, 15 minutes, all right, busted it out today. Check, you know, and then
right.
It's like the next day, okay, got to get my reading done. Check.
And I think that we'll see in just a minute that I think that is applicable in other areas as well. But that's a good point. It goes beyond just checking the block and studying something that you're curious about. It's something that you're desiring to fill your heart with and your mind. So, okay. So here's another question one of these thought-provoking questions from Kevin Harney. Was there a time in harvest history when our heartbeat was stronger and our love for God was more passionate? So that's part A. What can we do to cultivate, and if you look at your notes, I think I leave that word out. That's an important word. What can we do to cultivate that spirit in this new season? And, so some of you haven't been at Harvest long enough to know if that's even the case, right? A couple of us have been here a long time and have seen the ups and downs and times where we were more fervent for the Lord in ways that were, you know, readily visible, that you could see, tangible ways. Other times that we were maybe less passionate for in our love for God. But what can we do to cultivate that spirit in this new season? And I'll just take you to the next part to help answer this question. And Kevin Harney suggests that it has to do with worship. I mean, that's one of the primary reasons that we are here, that we're called together, right, is to worship God. So when Harvest gathers for worship, what are some of the ways we express our love and passion for God? And this gets back to, I think worship can become one of those checks in the block. It starts at a certain time. You got to be there. You have to be dressed a certain way. You have to sit in a certain place. We have an order of worship that has A, B, C, D, E in it. And it's easy to get into that mill of this just happens. It happens every Sunday, and it's kind of a machine. Yes. Okay. And why?
I guess that's what it is. Avoid to miss worship because that's what we're created to do.
Okay. So if you turn that, if missing it is sad, then what?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, it's good. All right, gotcha. That sounds like, one of our teenage boys' answers about how they did on a test. Good. Right. But I know you mean more than that. I do. So do you want to?
No.
Okay. All right. Anybody else want to help Robin out here? What are some of the ways that we express our love and passion for God when we come to worship? Do you even think about that?
The hymns and songs.
Singing? Okay. What else? Troy? Well, and you're getting into the next part of this, which is to consider ways to improve upon it. But still, I'd like to go back and talk about what are the ways that we show our passion and our love for God when we come to worship? Or do you even think about that? This is kind of, that's thought-provoking. We need to kind of discuss this. Yes, Cindy? Okay.
Yeah, to know that others whom you love and respect have the same hope and faith that you have. Very strengthening.
Okay, right. Yeah, that's certainly a way. Why are we here? I mean, was this our idea? Is it something we said, hey, I think this would be a great idea. Let's just get together and will come up with some organization to this, but and we have a great secretary that puts together a bulletin that we can follow. We've got a script. We're together. This is great. I mean, why are we here? It starts, I don't have my bulletin with me. What is at the top of the bulletin on the first page? Right, yeah. What's it say at the top?
God calls us to worship.
God calls us to worship Him. Do you come here because God is calling you to worship Him? I mean, it's an act of submission to a holy God that loves you, and you are showing that love back by listening to His call. God is saying, come and gather and worship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Worship me. Worship God. It's not about, you know, us, where we sit. But I do agree with what Cindy was saying about when we recite something and we hear, and the same is true with singing. We hear our voices raised in unison, that there's encouragement in that. But we have to remember the object is we're here to worship God, a holy God, because He calls us, because He demands that worship, and He is alone worthy of that worship. And we should come humbly, setting aside, you know, we have this time of prayer before the worship service in the library. It'd be nice if enough people came that we outgrew that library, but that's okay. For now, it's a handful of people. And one of the things we pray is, you know, everybody comes here with some burden. Every one of us, right? And it could be something that we're dealing with in the moment or this last week or in our lives past. Everybody comes with a burden. And we should come and cast that burden at the foot of the cross when we come to worship. That's why we're here, is to worship the Holy God. It's not to be here as a social club. You know, and it's easy for us to get wrapped up in the social aspect. There is a covenantal aspect, definitely, but we should come expecting to meet with God. So, back to what Troy was saying, you know, what are some ways that we can, how can we grow as worshipers? What can we do to improve upon our worship? And I would say, not only corporately, but privately, in our families, you know, every way that we worship the Lord. What are some ways that we can improve upon our worship?
It's nice that they have the passage printed out for the following week, and that's something you can read and think through. And usually the memory verse is also something that's going to be relevant to the sermon. So those are ways that you can prepare yourself for the message.
Okay. Anybody else? Some ideas?
Study the hymns.
Understand what you're singing.
Understand what you're singing.
Yeah.
And chew on what you're singing. Don't just, you know, oh, it's Amazing Grace again. You know, you can start the first line and you're thinking about checking the crock pot to make sure everything's ready. You know, you tune out like this if you're so familiar.
Yeah.
But if you really... Because even though we may have sung a certain hymn so many times, inevitably, if I force myself to concentrate, something will jump out and just crush me or slay me or hit me in a completely new way. Wow, I'm like just a handful of faith that this author had right in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you study what moves people to write in that way, what they were going through, about what you're singing.
All right. I think that's a good suggestion. Did I see a hand over here? Yes. No, go ahead. I'll remember what I was going to say. Go ahead.
Well, for me, what's called
just in general, that Christ is the Sabbath rest, and that heaven is our eternal Sabbath, and that He has won that for us, and that we, God has given us this, you know, weekly picture of there will be a day, an eternal day, when all your work is done, and you will be able to just rest in Christ, and worship Christ, and think of Christ, and be in His presence. You know, meditating on all those kinds of things, and that this particular day, while it's very ordinary for us now, you know, it's very spiritual in the sense of its meaning, and just really, you know, celebrating that and having it be a day that's very special, that this is the best day of the week,
right.
Not because I don't get to do any, I don't have to do any work, you know, which is something to celebrate, but because God has done the work.
Right.
And that we don't have to be like the world and in the world all the time. We can be one day out of the week set apart and worshiping Him and, you know, just meditating on all that He did in winning that Sabbath rest for us. For me, that's awesome and makes being wonderful.
Right.
Say, okay, I want to set all of this worldly stuff aside because, yeah, there's so many burdens.
Right. Very good. Thank you. Yes. And so if you have that kind of perspective on worship, do you anticipate it? Or do you just go through it? You know, do you just show up? I mean, think about those things in your life that are important, as Stephanie just described the importance of it. Do you anticipate them? Do you, you know, so what I'm saying is you show up not just at the nick of time, but and not late, but you show up in a demonstrating in a way that you look forward to this. This is something that you've looked forward all week to and you can't get enough of. And if that's your mindset about the Lord's Day and the gathering of God's people, then you're on the right track. Something else, and it kind of is along the lines of what Cindy said and what Jeff said. There are other aspects in our bulletin. Does anybody have one that I can use? Dean. Thanks. That, and when do you get this bulletin?
Thursdays.
Wait, you don't get it when you come through the door? Okay. Does everybody get the bulletin on Wednesday or Thursday of the week? Does anybody not get the bulletin? And do you know that there's a re... You don't get two emails. One that's the bulletin and one is the announcement. So we just have to talk to Dee. She must have you on one of her emails and not on the other. So we do that on purpose. It's not just a convenience. It's there so that you've got the bulletin well in advance of the worship service, so you can look through it and familiarize yourself with everything that's going to happen in 2 or 3 days on that Sunday. You'll know the larger catechism question. You'll know the passage that we read for confession of sin. You'll know the pastor's sermon text, you'll have his outline, you'll know the hymns that we're singing. All those things are available for you to look up and to become familiar with. Look at the passage that we're going to read for confession of sin and see in it, you know, where are those reminders of our dependence on God and our need for that cleansing forgiveness that we can only have through Christ. Look at the larger catechism question, and there are a lot of different helps for our larger catechism. If you don't have one, there's commentaries on larger catechism. There's catechisms with scripture references tied to them. If you don't have those things, those are all good things that you can include in your family worship or in your own personal devotions as you're preparing for the Lord's Day. Prayer requests are in there as well. So this is a way that we can pray for one another and for the needs of the church. And anyway, I highly encourage you to take advantage of what we have available to us. That's why we did it. Getting the bulletin in your hands early so that you can be prepared for worship. And we even go a little bit further, assuming that we're all going to come here with a little bit of turmoil, and we start, even before God calls us to worship, this time of preparation and prelude, where we sing that passage of, and this time it's Trinity Hymnal 193, "Let all mortal flesh keep silence." And that's a good time as you're sitting in here, entering into God's presence, to prepare yourself to worship Him. Any other ideas, thoughts on improving upon our worship and cultivating that spirit of love and passion for God anew? Because I think it's just something that we all struggle with, some to a greater degree than others. And it's something we need to constantly be bringing up and encouraging one another in. One thing I was going to read is, I don't know if you're aware of it, but our denomination has a standard for worship, the directory for worship. And I wanted to read this one. Where is it? Okay, here we go. "The Lord's Day is a day of holy convocation, the day on which the Lord calls His people to assemble for public worship." This is out of the Directory of Worship for in the Book of Church Order for the OPC. Although it is fitting, and this goes on, but I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs. "Although it is fitting and proper that the members of Christ's church assemble for worship on other occasions also, which are left to the discretion of particular sessions, the Lord calls the whole congregation of each local church to the sacred duty and high privilege of assembling for public worship each Lord's Day. He expressly commands His people to draw near to Him, not forsaking the assembly of themselves together. It is highly advisable that a congregation assemble for public worship at the beginning and ending of the Lord's Day. God established His pattern for His Old Testament people when He commanded morning and evening sacrifice and incense burning. Moreover, He sanctifies the entire Lord's Day to Himself and gives His people in it a foretaste of their eternal enjoyment of Him and His people." And that's just a sample of what the Directory of Worship says about worship in the OPC. And I think it's an excellent resource and reminder of why we do what we do each Sunday, including Sunday evening. So that's another thing that I think we can do. If we're trying to cultivate, we're trying to improve upon something such as worship, you have to ask yourself, are you here for every worship opportunity that we have? Because that's how you cultivate that love. You practice it. You are doing it. It's part of your life. So I would encourage you to think about not just the morning service, but the evening service as well. Okay. So wrapping up this chapter, Harney gives us some ideas for watering the soil with prayer. And here's some good prayer recommendations. Pray for the heartbeat of harvest. That means the love for God of harvest, your brothers and sisters and us as a congregation, to be healthy. Pray that the Holy Spirit will deepen your love personally for God. Pray through Revelation 3:14 through 22. What is that? Revelation 3. I think it is, yes. It's to the church of Laodicea. What do we know about the the message to the church leaders in Laodicea. Yes, what were they? There was so much that they had done, and they were now neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either hot or cold. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. So, you know, I think we need to evaluate our hearts. Are they lukewarm? Are they in need of warming up? And then how can we do that privately and corporately? Yes. And attending worship is one of those ways of exercising that aspect of your faith. But we just have to be careful that we're not falling into some kind of a rote process. It's, I think, important. Are we entering each time anew, afresh, with, you know, our love for God first and foremost in our thoughts and minds? Yes.
Him dimly,
yeah,
in this earthly process, but like Stephanie is alluding to, to be in his presence, and we'll see him face to face. This worship is
It's dim, and that's a good point. I mean, if you think about it, our worship is, it's very mechanical compared to what we have to look forward to. Right? I mean, we're trying.
A wild celebration. Well, I think of David dancing with all of his might, and that gal he was married to despised him. How the king has distinguished himself, and he was just dancing with abandon in front of the ark. Anyway, we don't do that so much at harvest, but I was thinking.
Let me look in the directory for worship for that. I don't think it's in there.
More of a picture of heaven, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I think our worship is a picture of heaven. That's what we try to make it. And when I say it's very mechanical compared to what it's going to be, it's in that light of the fact that it's looking in a mirror dimly. I mean, we don't see exactly, but we know it has certain elements, and those are the elements that we're trying to bring to our worship. Singing, praying, acknowledging God for whom He is, acknowledging our dependence on Him. So our directory of worship, very well thought through. Our order of worship is an attempt to try to reflect the truths that we see in Scripture and taught to us in the directory for worship. But it, you know, it could be different. It could be better, you know, it could have more gifted leadership, it could have better voices and singing, and there's all those things that could be better, but it's still going to be dim compared to what we ultimately have to look forward to in heaven. Yes?
Thank you, Robin's analogy that worship it is a way of, say, unfogging like that glass. Think of Psalm 73 with Asaph.
Right.
I think it is a way of helping us to see God more clearly.
Yeah. That's a good point. Very well. Okay. So the last two prayer recommendations: confess where our hearts have grown cold and pray for a fire to be reignited in them. So, you know, that's something that I think we should be continually praying for. The coldness of our hearts. I know me personally, it's very easy when you're working 6 days a week and 8 hours a day. That's maybe not for the full 6 days, but that's a lot of
of worldly distractions. And so it can have an effect on our hearts unless we're maintaining our hearts and exercising faith, as Robin recommended. And one of the things we need to do is first acknowledge it. You know, this is where I am. My heart is growing cold, or is cold, or has grown cold, and I need to pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit, again, through the means of grace. Reading the Word, hearing the Word preached, prayer, the sacraments, fellowship. And then ask the Lord to fill harvest so full of His love that it overflows from our hearts to those who do not know His love and grace. So the first thing is that, you know, acknowledging that our hearts aren't that full. And then asking that the Lord would fill them up to overflowing so that we have to share with those that don't know Him, don't know that love and that grace. But first, we need to know it ourselves. We need to know it intimately to share it with those who don't. And then at the bottom of the outline, for those of you who have it, I've quoted 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I think is a passage that we should often remind ourselves of. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And, you know, Christ has forgiven us. We have that forgiveness through Christ. This is a reminder that we should humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face and turn from our wicked ways and rely on that forgiveness that is ours through Christ. Amen?
Amen.
So I hope that the first chapter, you know, it's about loving God. It's an area that we could certainly spend more time in and grow in. But it's the foundation for any effective outreach that we hope to do. It's got to start with a passionate love for God and each of us and as a congregation as a whole. If we want to be effective in reaching the lost, reaching outside of these doors to those that don't know Him. So let's pray and then we'll start. Let's see. Next Sunday, you have the privilege of having Dr. Van Drunen teach Sunday school. I don't know what he's going to be teaching on, but he's going to be preaching in the morning and then he's going to teach Sunday school. It's always a great learning opportunity. So if you're here, should look forward to that. And then we'll start back up on this the following week, the first week of January. So let's pray. Father, we thank You again for Your love for us and that You've shown it to us in so many ways. The greatest way is sending Your own Son. And just thinking of the humility of Him taking on flesh and a reasonable soul, how both of those were very humiliating for the Son of God, the one who knew no limits physically, who knew no limits in His thought and emotions, but taking on those limits for our sake, and even more, to die a wretched death on the cross, even though He was sinless, so that He would pay in full the penalty due our sin. May our love for You grow based upon that truth and that knowledge. May our faith be increased by all the means of grace that You've given us, which are sufficient for all of our needs. We thank You for them. We thank You for this day that You've set aside for us and pray that You would help us, Lord, to appreciate it, appreciate the opportunities we have to worship You and to come prepared with our hearts full of thanksgiving, for You alone are worthy of our worship. In Christ's name, amen.